Well, the backlash was quick over a sentence that's so at odds with the prosecution's guidelines. Critics were quick to speak out, some saying that it's all too common in white-collar criminal cases involving white defendants. The former US attorney in Michigan's East District, Barbara McQuaid, says it has no place in the criminal justice system. She's now at the University of Michigan Law School, and she spoke with me earlier.
It's very lenient. You know, this judge, T.S. Ellis, has a reputation for being lenient in white-collar cases, but even this is really quite low. The sentencing guidelines range in this case was 19 to 24 years. And in the United States, guidelines are calculated based on data collected by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. And the idea is that we want there to be no unwarranted disparities and uniformity. So if someone commits a similar crime in Washington, D.C., they get the same sentence there as if they committed it in Texas. And so the reason the guidelines in this case were so high is because Manafort's conduct was so egregious.
Some observation has been made that this is a case of white privilege at work. Would you concur with that?
Well, I don't think I would argue against that. It's hard to know exactly what is at work here, but you actually see this in a fair number of cases where the wealthy and the powerful end up getting these very significant breaks and lower sentences in white-collar cases that you don't see other people get. You know, minorities in a drug case, for example, often get the full amount of their sentence unless they've gotten a deal for cooperation. And one of the things that I heard Manafort say today is, you know, I've been punished already. And you hear this a lot in white-collar cases, that the shame I have felt, why I can't even go into my country club anymore without getting the sideways look from my former friends, you know, as if that is punishment enough. Well, they also can get powerful people to write letters on their behalf. Well, if you are a young minority without a lot of financial opportunities in your life, you don't get the letters from powerful people. And you can't say, I feel shame when I walk into my country club. And that the judge is supposed to count that in some way in Manafort's favor or in the favor of these wealthy and powerful defendants, I think is a great disparity that has no place in the criminal justice system.
Is there any way the prosecution can go with this, or is this final?
They can appeal. So one of the things the judge has to do sort of mechanically is he is allowed to do what's called as a variance. He's allowed to go lower than the guidelines, but he has to attach a reason to that. I don't know that he did that or made that record. And so I would imagine in my former office, my former U.S. attorney's office, when we had a sentencing record like that, we would go back and look at it and see if there was a basis for an appeal. Now, the other thing the prosecution has going for it is that next week, Paul Manafort is going to appear before a different judge in Washington, D.C., and will be sentenced there for related charges. Now, if he gets a much tougher sentence from that judge, they may feel that the total sentence is appropriate and decide not to appeal.
Now, just parking all of that for a moment, I mean, the fact is Manafort has been jailed for these crimes. He will face probably more time next week, as you say. So far, the longest sentence for anyone who's been caught up in the Mueller probe. What do you think the implications are in terms of where the Mueller probe is heading, which we're told is sort of getting close to winding up?
Well, I think that there's still a few threads that have not yet been resolved. There are some pending grand jury matters. I think there also could very well be charges against individuals for lying to Congress. We have seen Michael Cohen testify that he lied before Congress and that he coordinated his testimony with others in the Trump organization. And so we know that Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and others have testified before Congress. And if they told the same lies, I think we could see charges against them. And then, of course, the ultimate question is, will he make the link between the Trump campaign and Russia for interfering with the election? I think he has laid the groundwork in the indictment he filed against the Russian intelligence officers for conspiracy to defraud the United States by interfering with the fair administration of elections. I think if he were to find Americans who participated in that conspiracy, it is a foundation has been laid to add defendants to that case. And so we don't know, but we'll find out, I would expect, sometime in the next couple of months.
Barbara McQuaid, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Barb McQuaid is a former U.S. attorney in Michigan. She's now a professor at the University of Michigan Law School.